Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran, and it is the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And that's going to provide me with the basis of my points of reflection today. A lot of Carmelite reflections. Yes, indeed. And actually, just some interesting pilgrim ideas, well, insights as well, related to 40 days and related to the current household and related to, hopefully, your life as well. So lots to cover today. Very excited to do so and going to get started in a minute. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. Welcome back to the program. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name, and we do so on this beautiful feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And I ask, Lord our God, that you would give us grace, you give us mercy today, that we would truly honor you, Father, for the gift of the mother of your Son. And Mother Mary, that we would come to a deeper sense of nearness to you, and to embrace the ways in which you intend to be a mother in our spiritual lives. I thank you for your yes to the Lord, and I ask that you would nurture that yes in us in a new way, in a fresh way. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, so just getting launched, an odd place where I am recording the program today. I'm sitting here with my little portable studio setup. If you listened to yesterday's program, you note that you may have heard that Father Lewis and I recorded with my little portable studio at St. Mary's. And that was because the house was full. Well, it wasn't exactly full back when we recorded, but it's full now. As of last night, my daughter, Mary Grace, flew back from her time in Europe. And now, I think it's a bit of a surprise to Carrie and me, all 9 of our kids are back in our house. it's very temporary. This is a temporary moment. The window will likely only last a few weeks. At most it's going to be about 35 days. And I say that because at that point we have our 4 Steubenville kiddos heading back to Franciscan University for school. And so first Ariana's going, she's leading the local retreat team. They have a retreat team that gets sent out from Franciscan University to local schools, and they put on retreats of various sorts. And last year, she and Mary Catherine and John Mark were part of it. And this year, they had asked Ariana if she'd be willing to be on the leadership team. So one of the implications was she needed to go back early. So God bless her. So she's leaving a little bit early, and then the other 3, they're vying for driving a car back to school. I'm not sure yet. We're leaning towards yes, but do we really want our kids having a car in college, at college? But they're telling us how much it will make them more popular. No, that's not true. It'll make their life much more practical to be able to get to the store to get food and other things that they need. So it looks like that's going to happen. So they're going to be making the drive across country. Pray, Lord Jesus, bless their travels. So that's them. And then my oldest 2, Mary Grace and Anne Marie, are back in the home just as a sort of a temporary landing spot before they also branch out. This is one of those really interesting things that it wasn't quite so clear in my own mind, and that was that once you've lived away, and you've lived on your own, like you've lived an adult life of responsibility and all of that, you just don't want to live under mom and dad's rules anymore. And so we love you, mom and dad, and love being around you guys, but time for us to step on, step out, move on. It's almost like the opposite of the grandparent thing where, oh, it's so great having the grandkids over. Now it's time to hand them back, right? Here you go, parents. Thank you for the visit, right? So it's an interesting dynamic where the kids, they're young adults. They enjoy each other, and they certainly enjoy doing stuff together. They less enjoy the fact that mom and dad can be less fun and more directive, and it's a lot easier talking to mom and dad from their own space, and they can just have conversations that are more enjoyable. So, you know, Carrie and I were talking about this, and Carrie's like, you know, I think that I'm going to regret not taking more advantage of these days, these, you know, this window, this month or 30, 35 days that we have with all the kiddos in the house. Right now, it's a bit overwhelming. It's overwhelming because, you know, now with the 9 kids at home, all the bedrooms are filled. And that also means my studio space, I had taken over one of the bedrooms, it's now occupied. And so that meant I am using my portable studio and I'm parked in a driveway. I'm parked in a driveway of a home where I've never met the owners, in a neighborhood that I've only been in a couple of times. Okay, is that sounding weird? All right, let me explain. So I'm here because I actually am in the driveway of a home that I am the agent helping some folks who are moving into the area. They're in contract and they're going to be closing on the purchase of this home at the end of the week. And I'm like, well, let me go there early. So I'm going to be showing them the house. We're going to go back inside to do measurements and stuff like that in about half an hour or so. And I'm like, oh, well, let me record the program in the driveway. So, all right. Welcome to my life. So today's the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and it got me thinking about several themes that are meaningful around the theme of being a pilgrim, being on the way, someone who's not yet home. Even Our Lady of Mount Carmel, one of her patronages is for souls who are in purgatory. Because souls who are in purgatory are not yet finished on their journey to their final home in heaven. So there's a journey aspect to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And I'm you're going to hear about it tomorrow. So I'm going to encourage you to tune in tomorrow on the program. But I am going to tell you this, that 40 days from today is when I take off to my Camino, the Camino de Santiago de Compostela. I should get that right. the Camino de Saint James of Compostela. I'm feeling this beautiful intentionality, being intentional, right? Meaning that I'm living the time that I have in a way that is directed towards achieving a goal or certain goals. And so I'm going to be very intentional about how I live these next 40 days as a means of helping me be ready for the Camino that will be an additional 40 days. Isn't that interesting? So the total time that I'll be away on the Camino on this trip, and that means like being driven to the airport to coming home, is a total of 40 days. And count back from that 40-day launching point is, in fact, 40 days is today. So there's a lot more to say about that. It's essentially this. I'm going to put it into a principle, and you've heard me share this before, but it has really, truly profound implications for your spiritual life. And it's this. It's that the way that we will pray well, if we want to pray well, we ought to prepare for that prayer time by getting ourselves into the position that will dispose us, that will ready us, prepare us to be able to enter the time of prayer prayerfully. So that's the insight, that's the axiom or the principle that is part of our spiritual tradition, that use the time of preparation well so that when it comes time to push forward to take action, you'll actually take action well. And so I'm going to be unfolding for you, not every day, but I'm going to be unfolding for you some of the big chunky things that I'll be doing in the next 40 days. And the only reason I'm doing them, I shouldn't say that, the principal motivation for doing the things that I'll be doing in terms of fasting, prayer, use of my time, stripping away other things from my time, these things are really only being moved into activation. They're only being moved into action because of the journey I'll be taking in 40 days. Does that make sense? Like, so for instance, if I'm going to be walking, 17 miles a day for 34 days with only a couple break days in there, then I better be walking now to prepare myself, to build my body up, to be able to walk well day to day. If I'm going to be walking on certain kinds of elevations and up and down mountains and across certain kinds of terrain, then, if I'm going to be ready to face the challenge that's there, I better be doing the same kind of thing now and walking on certain kinds of hikes and trails. If I'm going to be having a lot of time alone in quiet while I'm there and walking, let me introduce more time of prayerful quiet here and now, because that's going to dispose me and ready me to be able to pray well, to pray in quiet then. And I got to tell you, if I'm going to be in shape to be able to, in a fashion that will make me be able to be more likely to be healthy, right, where I won't be so run down by the vigor required to do this Camino, well, I better start working out and eating and operating in a lifestyle that is going to dispose and ready me for what is to come. So hearing me unfold it all like that, you're like, well, of course, Tom, that makes sense. But here's the thing. If I was just doing this in a forward-looking format, meaning, here I am today, and you know what? I think my life would be better if I prayed more in silence, if I got some more exercise, if I ate better, and if I oriented my days around the things that I really believe God's calling me to do, but I'm not really doing them right now. Well, let me start that. So starting simply with today and saying, how do I live today well? Let me move forward. Let me take this action where I'm living well today. Well, guess what? doesn't happen. It happens in fits and starts. It happens, I make a little forward progress, and then I fall back. And welcome to the real world. Welcome to the world of most of us, where we have, let's call them good intentions, but those good intentions don't really get us to the place where we are able to turn the gaps that we see in our lives, those gaps from the idea that is in our heads to activation, to letting it show up in reality. And so I've shared this with you a little bit before, but it's worth hearing again. Sometimes it takes a more radical commitment, a bigger, like this is not business as usual decision that's in the future that will shine a light backwards into the present so that I will sense the necessity, the requirement to live now differently, because ready or not, that future state, that future day is coming. And so that future date is impacting the present date in a radical way. Isn't that cool? More in a minute. Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com. Welcome back to the program. All right, so I mentioned that tomorrow I'm going to be talking more about this, and there's a reason why. Ron Belter is going to be on the air with me tomorrow. In fact, if you're tuning in right now, not only will I be on from 8 to 9 in the morning, but I'm going to be on with Ron beginning at 7:30 in the morning, from 7:30 until 9 on tomorrow. Ron and I will be on for a one-day share-a-thon. It's going to be a one-day opportunity where we are going to reach out to you, you members of our Sacred Heart family of listeners. I know that many of you, you tune in regularly and you're blessed by the great work of Sacred Heart Radio. You're blessed by the different programming that's there. And I'm confident that you pray for us, or when you hear a call to pray, you do, which is so beautiful. Tomorrow is one of those days where, and this happens so infrequently, there's a spring share-a-thon, there's a fall share-a-thon, and then once or twice a year, there's a single day opportunity and request. It's an opportunity for you. It's a request from us. Can you step forward? Will you step forward and help us financially be able to continue to grow Sacred Heart Radio, to operate Sacred Heart Radio, which continues to expand in the number of stations and the number of outlets that are there? And that's a wonderful, beautiful blessing that God has given to the state of Washington, that Sacred Heart Radio has been operating now for 23 years. My goodness. And this is our chance to come to you. And so I really hope and pray that you will walk with us on this journey. Walk with us on that journey, that one day tomorrow opportunity for you to make a call and make a pledge of financial support, or to go online at sacredheartradio.org and to make a call. So Ron, guess what? Guess who made the Camino? Ron did last year with Father Chad Green, and he went on the Camino, and these are things that I didn't know. There are many Caminos, not just not just the Camino, which is this what's called Camino Francés, which is the oldest, longest version of the Camino that still the majority of pilgrims do. But the second longest one is the Camino Portugués. And so it's the one that begins down in Portugal and then heads up the coast of Spain to the northwest corner. The Camino I'll be taking starts from the central eastern portion of Spain and walks towards the west northwest corner from the top section. So Ron, you know, he's heard me talk about this, and he's been sending me texts and pictures of things and recommendations and stuff like that. And it's just so cool to have him be engaged like this. And we started to talk a little bit about it yesterday. And I'm like, no, Ron, stop. Let's save this for Wednesday. This is like great stuff. The enthusiasm and the just the interesting stories that he started to tell. So cool. And then I had a chance to talk yesterday with someone who revealed to me, not only are there just a hint, there's, I don't know how many, 19 or some large number of Caminos that end in Santiago de Compostela, but there is, in addition, all these other Caminos. And he sent me an email about it. And so I ended up talking with him yesterday. And he's almost more excited about me going on the Camino than I am. And I had this vision of a Camino that was very much kind of a solitary affair. And maybe I'll meet a nun or a priest and we'll pray a lot. And he's like, no, you have no idea how many people that are on that journey are at he called it an inflection point in their lives. And I thought, what a great line, an inflection point. And in this inflection point in their lives, there's been some like significant happening, and it's caused them to want to step away from their ordinary life in order to ponder more fully, like, what am I doing? What ought I do? And he was saying, hey, you know, I am so excited because of all the people that you're going to have a chance to minister to that are, you know, basically on the Camino because they've got some dilemma. They've got some problem. They're at a crossroads, or they're struggling because something has emerged in their lives. And it's like, oh, well, this sounds like my normal life, where I'm talking with folks in challenging circumstances every week, you know, connecting with them on the phone or meeting with them in person, and just helping them to discern and kind of coaching them through what the right next steps are for their lives. But this is even more fascinating to me, because these are all people that are choosing to walk a historically Catholic pilgrimage route for penitence, and they're coming often as non-believers or people struggling to believe, or certainly not going as devout Catholics. So I don't know. I just found that really interesting. Anyways, so what else? I want to make two other quick points on this. The first is that I've already started praying for all these people. Because I'm now on a regimen where I'm walking early in the morning for, you know, a bit of a distance. And it takes me a few hours to walk early in the morning and quietly, and I'm not using technology. And so I'm praying. I'm praying for these people that I'm going to meet. Among many other things, you know, you got a few hours, you can pray for a lot of people. but here's the second thing that really came from that is that I'm like, wait a minute. I'm thinking about all of these people that I'm going to meet in 40 days that I'm going to meet during the Camino. And yeah, let me pray for all of them and pray for the Lord's blessing, etc. But wait a minute. What about these 40 days? Remember now, I'm going to prepare well for the 40 days that are to come by doing now what I'm intending to do then. And who is the Lord? Who has the Lord brought into my life right now in these 40 days? And again, they're not all going to be around for the 40 days, for all of them, but it's my kids. I'm like, wow, Lord, thank you. So the Lord has raised up for me a vision of saying, this is a moment of grace. You know, it was sort of Carrie's point. Carrie was, again, she was sharing with me when we were driving together, and she was saying, you know, I'm feeling the burden. I'm experiencing the burden. I'm getting a little overwhelmed by the burden of, once again, taking care of a household with 9 young adults and young adults and you know, 24, 22, soon to be 23, 21, 20, 18, 17, 15, 13, soon to be 14, 11, soon to be 12. I'm like, that's a lot of energy in that house. And it's so interesting that kids will sometimes default, they'll return to their default settings. And so when they're back home, it's like, I can be much more casual and I don't have to be quite so responsible. And so the room's a mess and they're not cleaning up after themselves. And are they really pulling their weight? And they're expecting that, well, mom and dad took care of us growing up. And it's like, well, guys, that's not right now. And the challenge to get them to up their game in terms of living well in this house, it's like, oh, wow, we got a moment of grace here. We got a beautiful moment of grace in this, in these 40 days. It was funny when my kids have started to find out that I'm going on the Camino. They're like, nah, dad, cut it out. Yeah, no, you're not. You're not doing that. There's just no way. How long are you going to be gone? 40 days? And mom agreed to this? What? And it was so interesting. Like, John Luke wouldn't believe me until I showed him my plane ticket on the phone. And he was like, whoa. And what does that do, though? It starts to open up a conversation that's different in my kids' lives. Now, we talk about, you know, God and faith all the time with our kids, but this is much more focused. Like, why would you do this, Dad? And they're seeing me get up early. Well, they're not seeing. By the time I get back, they're still in bed. But they obviously are hearing about what I'm doing. They're seeing how I'm eating. They're hearing how I'm talking, how I'm preparing. And it's like, you know who's impacted by it? They are. They're on the journey with me. They're on the journey with us. And I just, like, the voice of Father Tom Forrest has been ringing in my head. When he was promoting the decade of evangelization in the 1990s, and I had the privilege of working for him from 92 to 95. So he was the worldwide director, or the international director of Evangelization 2000, and he would travel the world, literally. You know, most people will talk about the number of times they spoke, or maybe the number of states that they've spoken in. He counted countries. He had spoken in something like 109 countries. I mean, are you kidding me? 109 countries. He would give retreats over the course of like a week or more, giving dozen talks to Mother Teresa and her sisters. I mean, he'd meet with the Pope at the Vatican to talk about these worldwide retreats for priests and promoting John Paul II's new evangelization. And he was really just a beautiful embodiment of John Paul II's call for the new evangelization. You know, this new in fervor, new in method, new in expression. And one of the things that he would emphasize in his presentations was, now is the time, right? Now is the time. Now is this time to go out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch. That was the theme of Evangelization 2000. go out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch. And I'm just going to pause right there. I'm like, wow, Lord, that's a theme for me. I just realize it even now. What is the Camino about for me? It's about going out into the deep. It is about lowering my nets for a catch that I can't cause. Remember the catch that Peter was hard at work and he caught nothing. Oh my goodness, you guys, you are witnessing the Lord enlightening me live to the meaning of this Camino for my life in a more condensed way than I've been able to do it yet. And I backed into it. I backed into it because I was going to begin with what Father Tom Forrest would say. He said, this is not the time for business as usual. This is not the moment for a business as usual response. And that was exactly what I was sharing with you in the first part of the program, is that business as usual responses don't get the job done. And if you know what I mean, what I'm saying is the going forward action that says, let me start where I'm at today and then let me build towards tomorrow and address these things, that wasn't getting the job done. The things that I felt drawn to, deeply desired, wanted to see happen, weren't happening. So the approach of, oh, let's try to grow in our spiritual lives, let's try to advance in our spiritual lives by trying to be better organized, more intentional, you know, working smarter, not harder, prioritizing things, all of that wasn't getting it done. And in so many ways, that's the story of our time. That's the story of the church of, well, since the Second Vatican Council, that despite amazing teaching in the documents of the Second Vatican Council, amazing teaching, incredible insights, despite Pope John Paul II and his incredible leadership, the Lord appointing him and using him to shepherd the church towards this new millennium, this great jubilee year 2000 and going forward. And yet with all of that, where are we at now? We're in a church that's diminishing in its cultural impact and its importance and the numbers. Parishes are being brought together. They're shrinking and the number of so we know that story. So just looking at the current reality and saying, well, what are some of the things we can change to get it done? Doesn't get it done. I know it in my own life. We see it in the broader structure of the church. So what do we need? We need a Luke chapter 5 moment. We need that moment of Jesus telling Peter to go out into the deep. I really am stunned here. So I'll come back on this in a minute. All right, welcome back to the program. So this was not on my agenda. This was not on my outline for what to talk about today. I'm going to just say thank you, Blessed Mother. Thank you, Mother Mary, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, for her intercession and just to honor on her feast day. The Lord has given me he has shown a light. He's illuminated me when it has come to this whole reality of the Camino. It's about going out into the deep. It's about, like Peter, I've been hard at work all night and caught nothing. He's cleaning his nets. He's trying to figure it out. He was showing up in the right place, doing the right things. And at the end of all of that, he's caught nothing. And it's in that moment, in the moment of the acknowledgement, the realization that I've caught nothing, it's there that Jesus comes in It's there that he stands. He says, I want to go out in your boat. I'm going to sit in your boat, and I'm going to speak to the crowds that are pressing in on me. And Peter obeys. He just obeys. He's, you know, he maybe is like, this is not convenient. This is not what I want to do with my time right now. I just want to finish this up and I want to go home. After Peter agrees, out of obedience, when he's tired, and Jesus sits in his boat, and Jesus is able to preach from his boat to the crowds. And it's at that moment that from that obedience, when he was tired, when he was experiencing the sense of fruitlessness and powerlessness, that then Jesus says, now go out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch. Go out into the deep and lower your nets for a catch. And that strikes me as it resonates so deeply with what I'm sensing is the call to the Camino for me. It's ordinary activity is not getting the job done. Just continuing to do what you're doing is not getting the job done. And therefore, in order to dislodge, in order to cast out the stone that's blocking forward movement, real advancing, it's going to take a more radical uprooting and a more radical moving. In this instance, it's that trip to the Camino. I mean, it's so shocking. Like, my kids can't believe it. Like, they still can't believe it. You're like, Dad, I'm afraid you're gonna get hurt. Dad, I'm afraid you're not gonna make it. Dad, I'm not afraid. It's like, Dad, this is big. You're not just going away for 4 hours or even 4 days. Or even 4 weeks. I mean, it's 40 days. And it's like, has my dad gone crazy? And is my mom supporting him crazy? And the beautiful thing, the powerful thing, the amazing thing is they have already been seeing up until now in the last week some of the changes that have happened inside of me or even visibly in me because of the additional prayer, the additional exercise, the healthier eating, all of those effects are already starting. And so my brothers and sisters, I'm sharing this with you because what I just shared about in a way that is as like big spotlight as go away for 40 days, let's strip it right down to your life today. And talk about going away for prayer time for 40 minutes. And I don't mean, oh, that would be a long time for you or that'd be a big deal for you. But if you can remember the thread that I was proposing, it was that our prayer time, whatever length of time it is now, let's say you're already praying for a half an hour or an hour a day, has a great potential to bear more fruit if you're willing to use the time leading up to the prayer, as a time for prayer. Meaning, okay, what's the status I want to be in when I'm in prayer? I want to be still. I want to have that sense of stillness. Be still and know that I am God, right? From Psalms at 42. Be still and know that I am God. So there's a way in which being still at a human level is going to help foster stillness at a spiritual level. And that's going to dispose us for the enlightenment, for the knowing that God is God. So what does that mean? Okay, well, that means that we probably shouldn't say, oh, you know, I'm praying today at noon. Let me be frenzied and hurrying about, running around, doing many things. And then the clock strikes 12, alarm goes off, and all of a sudden now I'm going to start praying. How well will I really pray at noon if my day leading up to then is frenzied and harried and distracted and all of a sudden now, okay, prayer time, go. By the way, I'm not saying like don't pray an Angelus at noon. I'm not saying don't stop what you're doing and pause and breathe for a moment and seek to recover that sense of the presence of God. I'm not saying any of that, but what I am saying is the time that you set aside daily for prayer, if you want that time to bear more fruit, you must, so says our tradition, pay attention to the time that you have leading up to your prayer time. And so, if for instance, I'll speak in a generality, but you'll hopefully understand the point. Let's imagine that you're going to pray for a half an hour. And that half an hour prayer will involve, half an hour prayer. Maybe it'll involve praying the rosary, reading the scriptures, or some combination. And it's going to go beyond a half an hour. It'll be sitting quietly. Maybe you're in adoration. Maybe you're taking a walk. And you're going to ponder the Lord and talk to the Lord in prayer. Maybe you're going to journal, right? So, all right, if that's going to happen during hour X, well, if hour X is going to be the time of prayer, then hour X minus one, so if it's noon, at 11, I'm going to start shifting around how I'm spending my time so that I'm starting to quiet down. I'm starting to even then acknowledge the Lord. Lord, I'm looking forward to my time that's set apart just for you at noon. Lord, give me the grace to let go of some of these things. Give me the grace to set these things aside. Right? So let me start just slowing my energy. Right? Well, what are we doing? What we're saying is, goodness, the meeting I have with the Lord, which is, oh, that's my prayer time. The meeting I have with the Lord is so important to me that I need to take the time that leads up to it to be a point of focus and attention as well. Now, if you think about it, you can see why the church will so often throughout our tradition recommend the first thing in the morning as a great time for your daily prayer. And you get why. Well, what am I going to be doing if I pray first thing in the morning before I pray? Well, I'm going to be sleeping. So, all right, all of a sudden now, it's a pretty realistic thing. I can wake up in the morning and I can slowly make my way around. I can go make some coffee. I can, you know, maybe take a shower or just wake myself up a little bit. And then before I launch into looking at my phone or looking at emails or watching anything on video, no, let me stay in that quiet mode, that quiet spirit, that prayerful spirit, and then move into prayer. You can see how, already just hearing it, oh, that kind of prayer would be so much more fruitful. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Again, I do encourage you to tune in tomorrow morning. Beginning at 7:30, I'll be on with Ron Belter. And at 8 o'clock, during the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about Ron's trip on the Camino And I'm thrilled and looking forward to that, to be able to have him ask questions, and I'm going to ask him questions, share insights, all for the sake of, again, encouraging you, my brothers and sisters, as part of the Sacred Heart Radio family, to be able to say, all right, how am I supposed to recognize or and respond to this call that now is the time? This is not an ordinary moment. It's not business as usual. Business as usual doesn't turn the dial. It doesn't get it done. We need something radical, something different, something to shake us. So Ron will be on with me as part of a one day share-a-thon, a one day opportunity for you to bless Sacred Heart Radio, to share in the mission of Sacred Heart Radio, and to supply Sacred Heart Radio's need with your financial wealth. And so tomorrow Ron will be on. I will be on with him from 7:30 to 9. I'll come back on 1:30 to 3 in the afternoon to also be with Ron and to share some more and some other insights with you. But actually, you know, this is sort of a terrible, terrible, kind of tragic example of the idea of shaking us up out of lethargy. And it's what happened last Friday on the 13th, when the former President Trump was shot. There was that assassination attempt at that rally. And it's like, what is going on? And you can see how you could say many things about that assassination attempt against President Trump. What you cannot say, what you must not say, is that it's just business as usual, right? Oh, another political rally, another assassination attempt. Does not happen like that. And you take a look at the manner of reporting afterwards, and who is it that gets called out and gets critiqued, and there's sort of this head shaking, head scratching. Are you kidding me? How can you do that? It were the stations that were downplaying, diminishing, or even completely avoiding the idea that what happened at that political rally was anything really serious or significant. And yeah, I mean, shortly after it happened, when I was talking with Kerry about it, I said, do you realize it just, you know, just 1 inch or like 5 seconds before or after, you know, there's likely a different outcome, right? President Trump is probably assassinated. Probably, you know, that guy would have accomplished his mission. And it's like that little, that tiny of an amount. People talk about, you know, if it was just the wind just shifting a little bit. And now we have a radically different outcome. And this is, our United States is in a very different place. But that didn't happen. And so this idea of it's not business as usual anymore. Well, now you have President Biden coming out and former presidents coming out saying we have to change our rhetoric, our national conversation. This cannot be. This must not be. We have to eliminate this as a way that we would go forward as a country. Well, you see, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if it's not business as usual, then all of a sudden we can actually make a change. No, we must make a change. It's when we are allowed to continue to remain in the status quo or continue to look at our lives through the lens of, oh, you know, let's just do better tomorrow. Let's just make a slight improvement tomorrow, that is not going to get it done. And so what I'm going to propose to you, and I'll talk more about this with Ron tomorrow, it's that that I don't really sense that the Lord is saying, Tom, you must do this. I have my hand on your life, and if I'm Lord and you are my servant, you must go. That is not what I sense. What I sense instead is the opportunity. I'm giving you an opportunity. It's the opportunity that Peter had in Luke chapter 5 when Jesus approached him and said, push out from the shore a little way, and I want to get into your boat, and I'm going to speak to the crowds from your boat. Peter could have said, can you find another boat? I'm really tired right now. And thank God he didn't. Thank God he followed the invitation. He saw it as something inside that said, I'm going to do this. And because of that yes, because of that willingness, and again, his willingness manifested itself in the midst of tiredness, in the midst of really exhaustion. And look where it happened. It didn't happen in the temple. It didn't happen in the synagogue. It didn't happen during a time of preaching where Peter was in the audience. No, Jesus was walking on the shore. The crowd was around him. And he approaches Peter. And this is not a good time. This is not a good situation. It's not like Peter's just been moved by some preaching. But he still obeys. And as a result of that, he gets invited, opportunity, go out into the deep and put down your nets for a catch. Now that again is an opportunity. Now this one followed after that time of preparation, that time of, okay, he let him in the boat. He let him come a little way from shore. Jesus started to do some preaching. Obviously that was stirring something in Peter. And then came the next stage, go out into the deep. And when he went out into that deep, there was that enormous catch that was completely, completely separate from the wisdom and skill and practice and efforts of Peter. Peter would have completely gone in a different direction. You're in the wrong place, Jesus, fishing at the wrong time, and you're doing it in the wrong way. And Jesus is saying, oh yeah, watch what I can do. And ends up bringing about this miraculous catch. And I got to tell you, that is really striking me as a message for my own life as I'm launching into this 40 days before my 40-day walking of the Camino, that pilgrimage. But just to say, in these 40 days is like Jesus getting into the boat. These 40 days is like Jesus being just a little bit, he's close to shore, he's preaching, he's sitting down, nothing too radical yet, but he's launched. He's launched, he's on the way, and he's headed towards the bigger next thing. And that bigger next thing comes when it's like, now it's time to go into the deep. And so what I'm sharing with you in this scripture and in this sort of analogy is also in some way that could be quite meaningful, your life and your opportunity as well. Like, how is the Lord going to get your attention? What's it going to take for the Lord to grab you and say, it's not time for the same old efforts, the same old methods, because by relying on those, you're going to have the same old outcome. And that's not life-giving for you. That's not what you want. That's not what you really desire. The Lord wants more for you. And I know that you want more for yourself as well. More for your family, more for your kids, more for your grandkids, more for the church in your diocese, more for the church in the world. Well, if we're going to be part of what God does to bring about the more, it's going to require from us, guess what? Something more. Maybe a whole lot more. Let me close with a very quick prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, thank you for the gift of today. Thank you for the gift of our lives. Thank you for calling us to go out into the deep. And I ask, Lord, that you give us the grace to know on this beautiful feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel how it is we are called to respond, and give us that grace to say yes. In Jesus' holy name, amen. God bless your day.